Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that as we feast on that word, you will enlighten us, that you will speak into the core of our being and show us your plans for the world. Amen.
Amen.
The baby has landed. Has anyone been watching this documentary on TV? I didn't think you would have. Well, it's a documentary that follows four or five couples from the end of pregnancy through the birth and into parenthood. Now, I haven't watched all of it myself because I was a bit concerned in one of the clips I saw that, in words of one of the soon-to-be grandmothers, to a very squeamish prospective father, there would be too much of the business end of the birth. So I just watched some clips on YouTube and avoided all of those bits. And in The Baby Has Landed, in this documentary, the audience share with these family, they share several things. There's a gender reveal party. I know, but it is very fashionable. Some of you are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I mean by gender reveal party? There's the drama of labour and birth. Visitors come to see the baby, and then they take these babies home, and the impact, we see the impact that these babies have on their world. There are some lovely nuggets from small brothers who asked Dad how their new sister came out of Mummy's tummy, through to the realisation of life with a small baby, including the exhaustion. And here in Matthew's Gospel that Vicky's just beautifully read, there are some parallels to this documentary. We have the gender reveal. Matthew tells us an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now in Matthew, there are no gender-specific balloons or bunting, but a reminder of the words of the prophet Isaiah, who had revealed this 700 years before the birth, but no one was listening. Isaiah said this, Matthew's Gospel said, "This took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." There was no book of baby names to study on this long journey to Bethlehem. There was no scan photograph to be revealed at the party on arrival in Bethlehem. Here in Matthew, we have an angel, a messenger from God, speaking to Joseph. And in Matthew, there's no camera crew to record the minute details of this birth. Just a few paragraphs with no details of the actual birth. And there he is, born. Clearly this was written by a man. And for those of you who saw the nativity play, this bit was admirably portrayed, I felt, Greg, with a few gasps and groans, and ending not very long after with a very short walk down the path to a baby wrapped up, laying angelically in his mother's arms. Just how Matthew portrayed it. The baby has landed, and who he is and what he's come to do is foregrounded above the pain and messiness of labour. Like our modern day babies, there were visitors and gifts for this baby. And Matthew and Luke, in both of those Gospels, they go on to talk about these. Matthew, unlike the documentary, focuses on the impact of this child on the world and the promise of hope for the future. Nothing is going to be the same again. Joseph and Mary, like all parents, will experience a myriad of emotions. There will be fear, exhaustion, panic. I remember those panics. But also joy and happiness and some periods of calm. Matthew places Joseph centre stage in this narrative of the birth of Christ. Joseph is included in the genealogy of Jesus. A son descended, Matthew tells us, from King David, from Moses, linked right back to the father of faith, Abraham. Layers of history unfolded at the beginning of Matthew's gospel to set the scene for this moment when the world is open to change, to a new future. And this would have been really important to a Jewish understanding of history, that God intervenes again and again, and that Jesus is the new Moses, David, Abraham. Matthew's gospel also highlights something important about Joseph. He highlights his faith. In this culture, the pledge to marry Mary was a legally binding arrangement. And Joseph would have been disgraced. He'd have been seen as a fool in this community because Mary was pregnant before they were married. He would have been legally able to end this commitment. And we hear from Matthew that he had in mind to divorce Mary quietly. This was a quiet man, not raging, just probably wanting it all to go away. And then God speaks to him in a dream. And despite the impact and difficulties his decision could have had, he obeys God's instructions. He takes Mary as his wife, we're told, and he has faith that what God has said will happen, will happen. Not fully understanding, perhaps, what was going to happen, what the future would bring, but being faithful to God, putting his trust in the Lord, in this God who has led Joseph's people, his ancestors. And Matthew's birth narrative gives us a promise of hope. A hope founded for Joseph on his history, on his understanding of God's promise passed down through the generations. And that promise for us too, passed down to us. The words of the prophet Isaiah would have been words that Joseph would have heard in the synagogue, familiar words. He probably never imagined that he would be a key part of the fulfillment of this prophecy. God had earmarked him for a place in this narrative, in history. His lineage woven into the fabric of this story. A story that stretches into the future and reaches out to us. There is hope brought about by the trust in God. Obedience, even when he perhaps didn't really get what he was being asked to do and to be. Ever been there? Like Joseph, we're part of God's story. We're part of God's plan. God continues to speaks to us in scripture, in prayer, in prophecy, and in dreams. God calls us to be part of his story. We say it in our communion prayer. As the priest says, this is his story. We respond, this is our song, Hosanna in the highest. We are linked to the past, a past that informs the present and leads us into the future. The future filled with hope brought about by this birth. This baby, the fulfillment of this prophecy, born to be God with us, born for all. Not just for the immediate family, for the local community, for the church, but for all, God with us. In a phrase used quite a lot lately, he was born for the many, not the few. These words not stitched into his swaddling clothes like a certain politician's recent suit, but into the very fabric of this child and his mission on earth. God with us, come to earth, offered as a gift to all. And Matthew connects us to the past, both here in the birth narrative, but also at the end of the gospel, As we hear that echo of God's words to Abraham, when God says to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And this resonates through the life of Jesus, right through to the end. As Jesus prepares to return to his Father, he tells his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Advent and Christmas remind us that Jesus came for all, a grace offering, the gift that keeps on giving. And as we accept this gift, we're called to pass it on. Like the babies in the documentary, this baby is a joy to be adored, to give thanks for, and to be shared. The documentary ends after the babies go home, leaving us wondering about the future for them and their families. Matthew's mini-series assures us of a future where salvation is offered to all, the future one of hope. The baby has landed, and you are invited to celebrate and rejoice as you accept this gift and share it with others. Amen.